KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's sunny and 43 degrees here in Atlantic. We expect to see sunny skies today, and it'll be windy as well with a high of 66. There is that fire danger warning in effect for the extreme southwest and western counties of the state for this afternoon as winds are expected to pick up and the extremely dry conditions will make things extremely dangerous for any outdoor burning, so that is not advised for today. Well, in area news, a lawsuit filed Monday in Polk County District Court by an Audubon couple claims an equity company owes them $500,000 in defaulted loans. The Des Moines Register reports in today's edition that the suit was filed by Gary and Marlene Stearns, and it accuses Ladco Capital Incorporated of failing to make payments on 9 loans provided to the Stearns to the company from December 2006 until January of 2011. Last month, the Minnesota Bank filed for foreclosure against Ladco-affiliated companies, including Ladco Capital, claiming the company defaulted on 3 loans amounting to $4.6 million. The bank's lawsuit asks for foreclosure and sheriff's sale on a Ladco-owned property and judgment for principal and interest in the amount of $5.5 million. An attorney for Ladco said persons who loaned money to the company have formed a committee to determine how much money, if any, can be salvaged from that company. A couple from Audubon have decided not to join that committee, hoping instead to recover their losses through a separate lawsuit. The Stearns filed for personal liquidation of their debts last December, and a bankruptcy judge discharged those debts last month, but that hasn't stopped creditors of the various Ladco companies from filing against the Audubon couple. An official with Accent Marketing Services, LLC, says the company plans to hire 25 new employees at its Customer Engagement Center in Harlan to support new client growth. Gene Geddes, Accent's Harlan Engagement Center Director, said the company will immediately begin hiring for 10 non-licensed customer engagement specialists to support a variety of home protection products, including warranties, service plans, and homeowner emergency assistance programs. 15 additional employees will be hired over the next 4 months. In total, Accent will employ 50 people in Harlan once the hiring ramp-up is complete. Getty says Accent is seeking employees with at least 6 months of customer service experience and an aptitude for sales. Additionally, applicants must be at least 18 years old and have a high school diploma or an equivalent. Individuals with an insurance license who are looking for a career change are also encouraged to apply. And all interested applicants can apply through the careers section of Accent's website at www.accentonline.com. The company will host a job fair at the Shelby County Entrepreneurial and Technology Center located at 1901 Hawkeye Avenue in Harlan from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on both March 15th and 16th and from 8 a.m. until noon on March 17th. The Harlan Center is the only Accent facility located in Iowa and serves as a dedicated insurance and financial services customer engagement center. Accent opened the Harlan facility in February after announcing it had acquired the licensed agent line of business from a leading insurance solutions provider. Under the agreement, Access retained the provider's employees and management as well as assumed its client contracts specifically related to the company's licensed agent line of business. Founded in 1993, Accent employs more than 2,500 people across the U.S., Jamaica, and the Philippines. Officials of the Cass County Community Foundation have announced that applications are now being accepted for the Dustin McCurdy Endowed Scholarship Fund. McCurdy Scholarship provides 2 scholarships of about $500 each to high school seniors from the Cumberland Anita Messina High School, or CAM. Applications are available from your high school guidance counselor, and they're due into the guidance counselor by no later than March 31st. The scholarship was created to honor the memory of Dustin McCurdy, a broadcasting major who died from cardiac arrhythmia due to an overwhelming viral infection in January of 2001 during his senior year while attending college at Northwest Missouri State University in Maryville. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that 2 Red Oak residents were arrested Friday on drug charges. 43-year-old Richard Linfer was charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm and possession of drug paraphernalia. And 40-year-old Kathy Bush was arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia. The arrests followed the execution of a search warrant at 210 West Washington Avenue in Red Oak at around 9:15 a.m. Friday. The Iowa State Patrol said yesterday no serious injuries were reported following a 2-vehicle collision Thursday afternoon in Creston. Officials say a 1988 Toyota pickup driven by 16-year-old Carson Whittington of Creston was exiting a parking lot just south of Prairie Street and attempting to enter the southbound lanes of Highway 25 and Sumner Streets when he failed to see a southbound 1999 Mazda because of another vehicle which was sitting at a stop sign on Prairie Street. The pickup pulled out on Highway 25 and hit the right front side of the Mazda, driven by 24-year-old Sarah Hughes of Creston. Both drivers were wearing their seatbelts and suffered only minor injuries and refused transport to the hospital. Whittington was cited by the patrol for failure to yield. Damage from that crash, which happened at around 3:25 p.m. Thursday, amounted to $3,000. State Patrol said also yesterday that a Creston woman who lost control of her car and crashed in Union County Thursday night was cited for OWI first offense and improper use of lanes. Officials say 49-year-old Lori Ann Ray was traveling east on Highway 34 or New York Avenue in Creston at around 10:25 p.m. when the 2007 Dodge Caliber she was driving came into contact with the north curb of the road. Ray overcorrected and lost control of the vehicle, which left the road and rolled onto the driver's side and came to rest on its top against a pole for a billboard sign. Ray was transported to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston, treated, and later released. Damage to the car was estimated at $15,500. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, authorities say no one was injured after a fire caused propane tanks to explode inside of a grocery store in Sioux City. A television station reports the fire broke out Friday afternoon at the grocery store Carniceria El Mikuanjko on the city's west side. Heavy smoke was pouring out of the back of the building when firefighters arrived. Iowa regulators say the contract dispute between the operator of the Sioux City Riverboat Casino and the nonprofit group that holds the casino's license is jeopardizing that casino's future. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission told Missouri River Historical Development and Penn National Gaming Company this week that without a new contract by June 7th, the Argosy could be forced to close. Nonprofit Missouri River Historical Development has sued Penn National, saying Penn National is interfering with efforts to talk with prospective new owners. Penn National says the existing contract gives it exclusive negotiating rights for the market. Both sides want to replace the floating casino with a larger operation on land, but they disagree on finances, the casino size, and amenities. Education reform will likely come before the Iowa House next week, and most lawmakers expect to approve a measure, including new student tests and tougher teacher standards. Republican Representative Greg Forrestal from Macedonia, chairman of the House Education Committee, says he expects the House to pass a bill supported by Governor Branstad. That proposal includes new testing for 3rd and 11th graders, a requirement that 3rd graders demonstrate reading proficiency before advancing to the 4th grade, and a rule that potential teachers must post a 3.0 grade point average before entering preparation programs. Teachers also would have to demonstrate proficiency in their field. The House could take up the matter on Tuesday. The Senate has different priorities, and it's unclear whether the legislature will agree on a plan. Legislators are considering a proposal that would increase the surcharge on cell phone bills to help cover the costs of emergency 911 calls. Iowans with a landline currently pay a $1 911 surcharge every month, but the 911 surcharge on cell phones is only 65 cents. The bill would raise the cell phone surcharge to a buck a month. Craig Walter is a lobbyist for Verizon.
We do have some concerns, certainly, with the 35-cent increase to our customers. It will impact certainly every phone that you have within your family for the additional costs.
Senator Tom Hancock, a Democrat from Epworth, said that surcharge revenue to finance 911 operations continues to fall as more people drop their landlines.
That leaves our local PSAPs, public safety answering points, with less funding. And there's a lot of them out there struggling right now.
And officials say 70% of the 911 calls come from cell phones without additional fees from cell phone customers. Emergency service providers say the cost of 911 upgrades will fall to property taxpayers. A bill that would increase the 911 surcharge on cell phone users has cleared a three-member subcommittee and must next be considered by the Senate Ways and Means Tax Writing Committee. And finally, in state news, a former employee alleges that workers at a U.S. cellular store in Iowa City routinely searched customers' phones for naked pictures and showed them off to each other when they were found. Lisa Blazik alleges in a sexual harassment lawsuit against the company that employees of the store would scroll through photos on customers' phones when they were brought in for service. She said employees often called her over to show off the photos, which included naked people and other pornographic images. Lawyers representing the company and employees being sued denied the allegations in a court filing. Blazik alleges employees routinely talked about customers' looks and sex lives and made crude remarks. She said she quit in 2010 after the harassment and retaliation became too much to take. Taking a look at our world headlines of this hour, what to do about getting more energy is front and center today for President Barack Obama and Republicans. Obama used his weekly media message to tout alternative energy sources and says the country can't drill its way to lower gasoline prices. North Dakota's Republican Governor Jack Dalrymple accused the Obama administration of standing in the way, especially questioning the deferral of the Keystone XL oil pipeline project. Kansas and Wyoming are the waypoints today in the campaign for the Republican presidential nomination. The caucuses come 3 days ahead of the primaries in two important southeastern states, Alabama and Mississippi. A cash shortage on Wall Street, but not in the investment community. The group Occupy Wall Street in New York City said on its website that it could run out of money in 3 weeks. The group that galvanized the nationwide movement against economic inequality has about $45,000 left, and donations are down. And an Education Department report is raising the hopes of disability advocates who want an end to the practice of restraining students. It says thousands of students, most of whom are disabled, are strapped down or physically restrained in school. School officials say it's a last resort. Advocates say the practice has led to abuse. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAM. Mervyn W. Christensen, age 79, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Regional Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Mervyn Christensen will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Johnson & Woodhouse Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Orville Clayton Young, age 88, of Hancock, died Tuesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Orville Young will be today at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Milton Sinow, age 81, of Aspinwall, died Tuesday at Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Services for Milton Sinow will be today at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Pauline Hogsett, age 91, of Oakland, died Tuesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Pauline Hogsett will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reagan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Mabel Richter, age 96, of Atlantic and formerly of Adair, died Thursday at the Colonial Manor in Oneida. Funeral services for Mabel Richter will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Marjorie Keister, age 85, of Benora and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Marjorie Keister will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Doris Fett, age 85, of Benora and formerly of Adair, died Wednesday at the Benora Nursing and Rehab Center. Services for Doris Fett will be Monday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair, with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair in charge of arrangements. Merle Fett, age 80, of Adair, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital in Atlantic. Services for Merle Fett will be on Monday at 10:30, also at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair, with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair in charge of arrangements. Patricia J. Van Cleve, age 83, of Waukegan, Illinois, died Thursday at the Rolling Hill Manor in Zion, Illinois. Funeral services for Patricia Van Cleve will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Helen Bull, age 85, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday at Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Helen Bull will be Monday at 10:30 at the Ascension Lutheran Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids is in charge of the arrangements. Dean E. Belknap, age 72, of Oakland, died Thursday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Dean Belknap will be Monday at 1 o'clock at the Reagan Beath Funeral Home in Oakland. Adele Leist, age 88, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Adele Leist will be held Monday at 1:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Ronald Stitt, age 76, of Benora and formerly of Des Moines, died Wednesday at Benora Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Ronald Stitt will be Monday at 2 o'clock at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in rural Van Meter. Twig Funeral Home in Benora has arrangements. Betty Sanny, age 93, of Lewis, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Betty Sanny will be Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Ann Hopkins, age 73, of Panora, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Mary Ann Hopkins will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center, with the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. Violet J. Norwood, age 73, of Erling, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A memorial service for Violet Norwood will be this Tuesday at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Robina Nora Elmquist, age 91, of Exira, died Thursday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Celebration of Life services for Robina Elmquist will be held at a later date. The Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. And Virginia Parsons Almond of South El Monte, California, and formerly of Lewis, died Wednesday at her home. Services for Virginia Almond are pending at this time. That is a check of the latest area and state news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.